So, what if you got deported?
A surge in arrests of undocumented immigrants.
Immigration crackdown.
Dramatic videos show federal agents detaining day laborers in Home Depot parking lots.
Authorities continue to make dozens of arrests every day as the federal surge continues.
At this point, Trump has deported tens of thousands of people a month, and it hasn't been the cleanest process. Giving ICE this much power means a bunch of Americans are being harassed, if not straight up detained. Kids who were born here, including a 4-year-old going through cancer treatment, have already been deported. And judging by what's happening with birthright citizenship and the whole homegrowns thing, it may not be right away, but someone you know, some native-born American adult, an acquaintance, a friend, a family member, will eventually be part of those deportations. Might even be you. So let's say you are deported. Then what? Probably torture. Before we get to the rest of the video, I want to take a quick second to do a shameless plug for our Patreon. If you're not interested or you're unable to support the channel, feel free to skip ahead to this timestamp. I'll get straight to the point. Content like ours is not rewarded by the YouTube algorithm. This is a corporate platform. We're outspokenly anti-corporate. Because of this, YouTube ad revenue represents a tiny and shrinking sliver of our channel's income. The vast majority comes from grassroots support on Patreon, from people who believe in our cause and are willing to directly fund Second Thought and keep us afloat. Because of the generosity of people like you, YouTube could completely demonetize our channel and we'd be able to keep producing these videos. That being said, people's financial situations change. And with how the economy is looking right now for the average person, the Patreon has definitely taken a hit. If you're in a position to chip in a few dollars a month to help support the channel, we would greatly appreciate it. As a little show of that appreciation, every patron, regardless of pledge amount, gets early access to every video, plus access to our patrons-only Discord server. We've got everything from a book club, to a recommended reading list, to educated users ready to answer whatever questions you have about socialism. I even try to do a live Q&A every now and then. It's a really great place to hang out, and I hope you'll come check it out. So, if you'd like to support the channel, join the Discord, and get early access to every video, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/secondthought. Your support really does make a huge difference. All right, back to the video. Torture is what hundreds of immigrants face under Trump's administration right now. It's what happened to guys like Gilmar Abrego Garcia here at CECOT. But we'll get back to him in a minute. Because what happened to Gilmar isn't all that new. I want to talk about black sites. You've probably heard about black sites before. Secret prisons that formed a global network used by the CIA to detain and torture people at will and without trial. At their peak, we think there were about 100 of them in 30 to 50 countries, with around 17 of them on ships in international waters. Under Bush's presidency and the post-9/11 war on terror, ships, military bases, but also airports and abandoned schools in Asia, Europe, Africa, they all became black holes where people just disappeared off the map. No trial, no jury, no human rights. Bare, damp, windowless rooms some simply never left. Often people picked up by accident on bad intel. People who had never committed any crime and had no affiliation with any terror groups. Innocents who went on to be tortured for, sometimes, years. Of these 100 or so black sites, the one we know the most about is probably Guantanamo Bay, a not-so-super-secret prison in Cuba run by the US and currently holding 15 people, only two of whom have actually been convicted of a crime. Six of them are technically already cleared for release, but at this point, they've all spent more than 15 years there. From what we understand, what happens at Gitmo is illustrative of what life in typical black sites might be like. And I'll warn you right now that if you don't want to hear about the details of what CIA torture can look like, maybe skip ahead to this timecode or leave the room for a minute or two. It's horrifying. As you probably already know, people are subject to things like waterboarding, a kind of torture that feels like drowning, swallowing water without being able to breathe in until, eventually, you can't do anything but pass out or seize. At these sites, we also know of people being forced to be naked, or subjected to things like sometimes posed in embarrassing positions and covered in prisoners have reported being drugged and shown tapes of their family members begging for help or being threatened with torture or even subjected to it themselves. Then there's electrocution and sleep deprivation, where detainees are tased in sensitive areas, forced to stand or get tied up in uncomfortable positions for days, weeks, even months at a time. People are slammed up against the wall, they're beaten up, and in particularly cruel cases, they are locked in cramped boxes while sounds of babies crying are played at full blast. We have some drawings of what this looks like from a man held at several black sites from 2003 to 2024, and even just these sketches are hard to stomach. But in 2004, thanks to the work of a few brave journalists, we got access to what this torture is like from the eyes of the torturers themselves when a cache of thousands of pictures and videos taken by US soldiers and officers at the Abu Ghraib site were leaked to the press. Thousands of pictures and videos of people being degraded, dehumanized, and inflicted intolerable pain for the giddy amusement of those behind the camera. None of this was legal. So how did it happen? The US is party to a long list of treaties like the ICCPR, which forbids due process violations like these and, quote, torture and cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment or punishment under any circumstances, end quote. We've also signed on to the Convention Against Torture, which is similarly explicit that, quote, no exceptional circumstances whatsoever, including war or the threat of war, may be invoked to justify torture. You probably knew this already, but the Geneva Convention, which the US has also signed on to, also explicitly states that POWs need to be treated humanely at all times. Whatever, that's international law. It's a joke. But what about domestic law? Both the 8th and 14th Amendments forbid cruel and inhumane punishment and violations of due process. The Federal Anti-Torture Statute of 94 extends U.S. federal jurisdiction over acts of torture committed abroad. The War Crimes Act of 96 criminalizes grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions if either the victim or the perpetrator is a U.S. national or a member of the armed forces. And same thing again, the Detainee Treatment Act of 2005 forbids cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment or punishment of any person in U.S. custody. Meaning that to torture anyone, like the US and the CIA have for decades, is to break a long list of laws and a whole lot of common sense and basic human decency. These are war crimes at both the international and domestic level. To try to circumvent these laws, those kidnapped by US intelligence were labeled unlawful enemy combatants instead of the Geneva-protected prisoners of war. And the cells they were held in were purposely not on US soil, per se. The hope was that this could give US officials some leeway, or at least pin the blame on some other country if necessary. But make no mistake, this was illegal, US-led, White House and Congress approved, and most importantly, completely useless. Torture, like the kind practiced at all these black sites, never yields anything. We've known this for a long time.
U.S. embassies are on high alert as we learn the details of the CIA's harsh interrogation techniques after the 9/11 attacks. The Senate just released the so-called torture report.
Both the Senate's report on the CIA's torture program released in 2014 and the CIA's own reports from before 2001 admit torture is and always has been useless. Even using all the kinds of torture we've mentioned, not once did any of it provide any useful intelligence. Worse, in every case that the CIA tried to defend the use of what they called enhanced interrogation techniques, the Senate report found that the intelligence obtained had already come from other sources. In other words, they already had what they needed. They just wouldn't stop. But no one's surprised, right? Think about being tortured for a second. Obviously, you would do and say anything to make it stop. And if you had no information to give, as was the case for countless innocent people detained at these black sites, or if you told them something they already knew, you would have to lie until the guy torturing you felt satisfied. Torture was always going to be worthless. But back to the present. This isn't just a history lesson. These practices by the CIA laid the groundwork for where we are today. That might sound surprising because in 2009, Obama issued an executive order to end US secret detention and torture. But of course, that doesn't mean it stopped. 2 years after that executive order, people detained by the US in Afghanistan were still being secretly kidnapped and tortured, forced to strip, held in solitary,
and refused access to either a court or legal counsel. The Obama admin admitted as much, and in 2016, BuzzFeed revealed that that admission wasn't the full story. 58 other people had also been secretly detained and then completely cut off from all communication with anyone other than US guards. The US called this separation. And for some, separation meant going without any human contact at all for up to 30 days at a time, while stuck in tiny, rancid cells. But what really got us to where we are today is what came next. To continue torturing people in the wake of Obama's executive order, American intelligence found that it was often easiest to simply hand over prisoners to whoever. For example, prisoners captured by US forces, who were no longer allowed to torture people themselves, were simply thrown into Afghan detention centers. At these detention sites, torture looked exactly the same. Electric shocks, hanging by the wrists, beatings, toenail pulling, and genital abuse. And if you were wondering who these people willing to carry out torture on the US's behalf were, this whole time, the CIA had continued arming and training paramilitary forces in countries like Afghanistan, knowing full well they would go on to detain, disappear, and execute people without trial where the US wouldn't. For all these crimes, the Obama admin investigated over 100 cases of torture. No one was charged. Even in a case where CIA officials deliberately destroyed nearly 100 tapes of direct video evidence of torture, the Obama admin refused to charge, much less convict, anyone. And that's knowing that they only investigated cases in which interrogators went beyond their legal authorizations from Washington in their use of enhanced interrogation techniques, which ignores the fact that enhanced interrogation techniques, authorized or not, were always illegal. Fast forward to today. Abrego Garcia was one of 237 men sent to CICOT earlier this year. At CICOT, an El Salvadorian prison billed as a terrorism confinement center, torture looks much the same as it has these past 25 years. Inmates' heads are shaved when they arrive, they're handcuffed and stuffed into already overcrowded cells, they're beaten for days at a time with wooden batons, woken up at 4 a.m., denied medical care and showers, shot with rubber bullets, forced to kneel for hours until they pass out, sexually assaulted, filmed by guards delighting in their pain, and as always, denied access to legal counsel or any semblance of due process. Some of these men have now been released, and we now know that their only crime seems to have simply been having tattoos near an ICE agent trying desperately to fill Trump's quota of 3,000 deportations a day. They never had a trial, not even a cursory check. They simply looked deportable, and that was enough. Enough for them to be locked in with guards ready to continue a quarter century of unpunished war crimes. And for how horrifying CICOT is, it's only the first of these new ICE black sites. The US Foreign Affairs Act of 98 forbids the US from deporting people somewhere they might face torture. But already, the Trump admin has successfully begged the Supreme Court to ignore that rule. They found loopholes, and they're in talks with over 64 countries willing to become these new global gulags. Already, 13 of them have accepted deported immigrants. 12 of those 13 have already been found by the State Department to have significant human rights abuses. And 58 of the total 64 have had that same report card. To give you an idea, one of these countries, South Sudan, is on a level 4 travel advisory from the State Department, meaning Americans who want to travel there are recommended to draft a will, establish a proof of life protocol with family members, and leave DNA samples with their primary care provider. What's happening to the 8 men already deported there? We have no idea. Tom Homan says they're free, living life in South Sudan, but we don't actually know that. For weeks now, they've been completely unreachable by their families and lawyers. And now we're being told explicitly who's next. Homegrowns. What an administration that doesn't care for due process or even proper IDing, but has time and again sent the National Guard on its own people and given billions to ICE considers a homegrown is up for debate. But what we know for sure is that they do not care what happens to you once you get stamped with that label. If the last 25 years have shown you that you can do anything you want to an unlawful enemy combatant, what's to stop you from making life hell for someone you barely consider human?